There was an 87-year-old woman whose name is changed to protect her. I'll call her Rita James. She had spent her life working 12-hour days doing other people's laundry. People were amazed when she generously donated $150,000 to establish a scholarship fund at a small university. What's even more amazing is that this gift represented only 60% of her total life savings of about $250,000. When asked how she did it, she simply said that she lived modestly, saved regularly, and gave generously to causes she truly believed in. By structuring her wants and her needs so that she could reach a specific goal, she was able to be generous beyond all expectations. Yet, as impressive as her story is, and as remarkable as it was for her to save $250,000 and then give away $150,000, it pales in comparison to another woman that's described in Mark's gospel. That widow only had two coins to rub together. She gave both to God. And when she was done, she didn't have $100,000 left over or $100 left over or 100 pennies left. She had nothing. She didn't have to give her gift to God. In fact, she couldn't really afford to give this gift at all. She's a poor widow whose husband had died some time ago, and she apparently had no children to care for her. She was destitute, reduced to begging, asking for alms along the street. She had no home, no possessions. The only thing she seems to own was the clothing on her back. And there is Jesus, watching her. The gospel is about more than money. It seems to center on a widow's financial gift, but we need to see that this is about more than money. God not only sees what you put in the offering basket, he also sees what you do for him at church, at your place of employment, at home, and as I mentioned once before, in the valley. He sees the sacrifices you make and the sacrifices you have not made. He is mindful of what you do and what you don't do. God is not interested in the size of the gift. He looks at the size of our hearts. God does not want the wealth of a person as much as he wants their heart. Neither widow had anything that could be considered a treasure. Elijah asked for and was given water and a bit of bread. That widow offered what was asked of her despite it being all she had. The widow at the temple tendered her last two coins, in spite of it being all she had. Sometimes we forget that the characters we find in the scriptures were people just like you and me. They had their share of despair and found hope in their times of joy. They worried and suffered, wondering what the next day would bring. There are people in our neighborhoods, perhaps in our families, certainly people who have been devastated by natural disasters, or even those seeking the asylum who face difficulties like the ones experienced by the two women we meet in today's readings. Regardless of their poverty, the widows carve out a capacity for God that allowed them to trust and respond. They allow God to use them to be instruments of generosity. Trust comes from not always knowing, but from believing. Some people do what they can to help others survive despite their own needs. Many people in our nation are caught between a low-paying job and the cutoff for assistance, who are reduced to living in shelters because they are dismissed from overcrowded or expensive facilities. People who share what they have see life as an opportunity rather than a burden, who have no surplus but give from their poverty. People in faraway countries are in makeshift refugee camps, separated from families, standing in long lines for a food ration. They do this because they hope and trust that a better tomorrow will come. You and I, we can help to bring them a better tomorrow today. The woman featured in the readings symbolized tremendous generosity of heart and spirit. They represent those who are on the fringe of society. Pope Francis implores us to step outside our comfort zone and reach out beyond our borders of well-being to those less fortunate than we are. As the body of Christ, the church, our mission is to serve those who are in need, who struggle day to day. Catholic Charities of Central Florida has programs and services that can assist victims of natural disasters, like the evacuees from Puerto Rico, or survivors of the hurricane that tore through the Panhandle area of Florida. There is also the Senior Center, which provides opportunities to the elderly to find social health and spiritual support through its ministry model. Catholic Charities will provide training and education to recognize, prevent, and if necessary, assistance to victims of human trafficking. One can also obtain legal services through the Immigration Department for those needing to correct their legal status while in this country. Monies that we give through this annual collection also assist families who need medical care, food, and/or emergency services. There is also support for families that may need help managing their finances. Remember, we can give one a fish and feed them for a day, or teach one how to fish so that he can continue to feed himself on his own. Most of the people that we serve are the working poor who have nowhere else to go. They work tirelessly to change their circumstances, but come up short. Maybe it is because they lost their job, or they may have encountered medical expenses. Assistance from Catholic Charities helps many families get over the rough patch in their lives and reinforces their self-sufficiency to avoid future dependency on financial assistance. There are many ways we can help those who need our assistance. First and foremost, Please pray for the people that we serve. Next, I ask you that you join me in financially supporting Catholic Charities in our second collection today. Please give generously. Every little bit helps those we serve, the homeless, the hungry, seniors, the sick, children, immigrants, and refugees. They are the faces of Christ in our world. You and I are called to be big, not in the way of the world, but in the way of the widow, extravagant, in the way of the widow gathering sticks, bringing water and bread to Elijah, even though she uses the last of what little she has for him, an extravagant woman. Like the poor, Jesus, who stripped himself of glory to become poor for our sake, so that he might lead us to glory and eternal riches in him. That kind of extravagant. The calls we answer is to extravagance, not prudence. Very generous in giving, not shrewd calculation. We can do it occasionally. Doing it occasionally makes it possible to do it once and for all, especially when we make a leap of faith and accept Jesus, holy, and his church, his bride, his body. No one who has drunk the wine of extravagance will ever stoop to stinginess or anything. Total gift brings total freedom. Both widows had the gift of piety and faith, even though they were poor materially. The widow of the gospel had a generous heart, as did the widow in the first reading. They looked outward to the needs of others and gave what they had. It is really a story about Jesus himself, a study on his giving, his everything, which is to be our model and guide. Can we do the same?